Let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and reading from verse 35. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 35. But someone or some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool! That which thou sowest is not made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that thou shalt be, but a bare grain, in a chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom thou didst raise him from the dead. And we thank you that because he was risen from the dead, we have this hope that we too will rise again from the dead one day. And we which are alive may not even die, but we shall see him as he is. Thank you, God, as we study thy word with regard to this wonderful resurrection body of the Lord, that we may not be foolish, but we may be wise in the ways that thou hast planned for us. We give thee thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you still have your Bible opened to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because we shall be studying the rest of this chapter from verse 35 onwards, to continue with what we started last week. Now, last week we dealt with chapter 15, verses 1 to 34, concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was together with the problems that were dealt with by Paul. Chapters 1 to 6 were problems reported to Paul by the house of Corinth. Then chapter 7 onwards, we find that the church in Corinth themselves faced problems and put them forward to Paul to answer them. And we know from the word concerning, because Paul was replying to the problems, concerning the things, the problems that they brought forward. That will be chapter 7 to chapter 14. Then chapter 15, we also have a problem being brought forth. It was a problem with regard to doctrine, the doctrine of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would the people rise again? Now, there were Christians in the Corinth who believed and who even preached the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But somehow or other, they did not believe that Christians who had died could rise again. And we saw the arguments given out logically last week when we dealt with that problem of would Christians rise again from the dead. Today, we are going to deal with another section from verses 35 to 58, and this time with regard to the resurrection body. Alright, we agree now that because Jesus rose again from the dead, we would rise again. But what kind of bodies will we have? How are we going to be raised? Will we still have the body that we have today when we resurrect from the dead? And this was the question that they asked. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now, all this can be answered only by one. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Because the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, there would be a resurrection of all those who had died in him. Because Jesus Christ had died, had risen from the dead, And we saw him in his body, resurrected body, so we shall have a resurrected body like his. But what is that body? What do we know about that body? And this is the very gist of our discussion this morning. So, very quickly, let us go over what we have brought forth last week. Jesus must rise from the dead. It is a condition of the full gospel that Jesus died for our sins and Jesus died and was buried for our sins and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. It was according to the word, and we had witnesses who saw the risen Christ, and Paul himself saw him, and women saw him, so there could be no doubt that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And with this fact and foundation in mind, the only conclusion one can arrive at rationally is that one day we all can also rise again from the dead. And this was argued out rationally, logically, with Paul saying, if then at least four arguments were presented in chapter 15, verses 12 to 19. Then eschatologically, that is, with regard to the coming events in future, the resurrection of Christ was also very, very important. For example, we read in chapter 15, verse 22, Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection. Now, that's the beginning of eschatological order, the future events that are coming. Christ, the first fruits. It says there, after them that are his. Alright, who are the his? Now, let's get this order clear so that those of us who are going to about to leave this earth soon, like myself, at this age, we are going to leave this earth soon. We must know what we are heading for. Alright. Christ, the first fruits. Then all those that are his, that will be the church. In James 1:18, they are referred to as a kind of first fruits. We are also a kind of first fruits, therefore closely associated with the first fruits. Then we shall be raised. And we read from Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. In other words, these people, the church, having raised from the dead in heaven now, what did they do? They shall live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, meaning that the people who rise again from the dead, are taken up from among others. And these others will not be raised from the dead. Get this clear, please. It is not a one-time simultaneous resurrection. It is a selective resurrection where those who belong to him, those that are his, are taken up and resurrected, and those who are not his will remain behind in the ground, in the earth. And the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. They will be there in the grave for 1,000 years. This is known as the first resurrection. The first resurrection is not one event. It started with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the first fruits, and them that are his, James 1:18, a kind of first fruits. And then we read in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, there will be those who will be in the tribulation, and they will be raised, the tribulation saints. All these will be first resurrection. Now get this clear. This will be the first resurrection, one event. And then there will be a second resurrection. When will the second resurrection take place? The second resurrection will take place when there is a second death. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The events I named just now. And on such the second death hath no power. they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Repeated. Those who are raised to as a kind of first fruits will be with Christ and will reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and the rest will remain behind until the second resurrection. The second resurrection is for those who experience the second death. What is the first death? The first death is the natural death that everyone goes through. When they die, and they do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not be raised. But they will be raised in the second resurrection after the second death. They will be thrown into the lake of fire. And that is the second death, where they shall remain eternally in punishment forever and forever. Let me illustrate this further. And so we see the first resurrection will begin with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and will continue until... Alright. Until the Lord Jesus Christ raises all those who are His. Not reflected here. Alright. The rapture. Seems to be running out of battery. Anyway. The rapture. Now, then first fruit, the kind of first fruit, during the great tribulation, some saints will be raised, many saints will be raised after they have died, and then they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years will be the second resurrection, when all those who have died, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, will be raised, and they will face the judgment at the great white throne. And then they will be found guilty, they will be thrown into the lake of fire in hell. And that is the second death. Those who experience the first death will experience this without a rebirth, a second birth, will die a second death. Those who have experienced the rebirth, the second birth, will not die a second time. I hope you get this clear. Okay, so with this, we shall go on. Cometh the end. The end will be, of course, here. When God, when Christ, will surrender everything that He has subjugated unto Himself and will present all unto the Lord, that God may be all and in all. And this can only be possible because Christ rose again from the dead. All these events then will take place. Now, let us all master this very well, because all of us one day will die. And we need to have this hope before us, that one day when we die, we know what is going to happen to us. God may be all in all things. Alright. Now, chapter 15, last week we dealt with doubts concerning the resurrection of Christ. And then, today we are going to deal with doubts regarding the resurrection body. What kind of body will we have when we rise again from the dead? Some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Alright, this is the question we are going to answer today. And we are going to see the arguments for the conclusion that Paul gives. As I emphasize again, only the resurrection of Christ could solve all these problems. If you do not believe that Jesus rose again from the dead, then your faith is in vain. You still have your sins with you, and you perish in your sins in the second death. Alright, let's begin with the arguments now. If you have your Bible open, look at it as I refer to the verses, because I have no time to read every verse. Now, the problem. How is the dead raised, and in what body? Firstly, let's understand the nature of the resurrection body. Each creation has its own body and glory. Now, what we fail to understand is, we think that this body that we live in, it dies. And when it dies, when you rise up, it will be the same body. No, it will not be. And what is the argument? The natural body that we have, let's take for illustration the world of nature. The sea. The sea and the product that comes out from the sea are different. First, there is the seed. It goes into the ground. It dies. And then when it dies, then it springs up into a new plant, a new body. The plant and the seed are two different bodies. But what brings about that new plant? Death. The seed dies. When the seed dies, a new plant comes up. Take also the terrestrial, the earthly world around us. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Every creature on this earth has different bodies. So let us not mistake that the bodies after we have risen from the dead are the same as the bodies that we possess now. They are different. Take the celestial. Even the celestial, the heavenly bodies, they are different. The sun is different from the moon. The moon is different from the stars. The sun gets, it has its own glory. The moon reflects that glory. And the stars are, there's so many planets and other things that reflect the very glory of the sun. All have different bodies. The natural, the celestial, the terrestrial. The glory of celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So let us keep this in mind. According to each environment, according to each realm, there is a body that is different that will fit in with that realm that that body lives in. So, when we are going to a new realm, we will have a new body. We will be transformed. Right. So each creation has its own body. How does the creation have that new body? Death changes the nature of the body. It all comes about because of death. Now, in general, for example, even in verse 36, Paul says, I die daily. Chapter 4, 15, 42 to 50 is the argument. Verse 36 is the very key. I die. And because I die, when the body that comes after the death is different. Let's see how Paul argues it out. First, generally, before it goes to the spiritual death. Generally, a seed dies to become a seedling. Before a plant can rise up, that seed must first die. Now, the body of the seed and the body of the plant are two different things. They are completely different. And yet, we find that they are connected in a way that they are from the same seed. But death intervenes and death changes everything, so that the plant that comes out is different from the body that it came from. John chapter 12, 24 to 25 says this, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and dieth, it abideth alone. But when it dies, it's bring forth into a plant. If a seed does not die, it will not bring forth a plant. But when the seed dies, it brings forth a plant. So death is necessary. A sinner dies to become a saint. A sinner must first die. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Your very baptism illustrates this, that when you go into the waters of baptism, you die. You are in the water, you are buried. When you come out of the water, you rise again. Of course, the physical changes are not seen, but the spiritual change is there. You are now a saint from what you were before, a sinner. A soul in its natural body dies to become spiritual. All must die. And that's why it's important that if you are a Christian, you must die. Die to self. If you do not die, then you cannot be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Death changes the nature of the body in general. But let me be more specific in the arguments put down by Paul in verses 42 to 50. The changes to the body, because we are very interested. I'm very interested, and I notice that all the older ones here should be interested too, because you are very near to that stage when the transformation will take place. Alright, and your question will be, will what I am be what I shall be? No. Because when death takes place, it changes. There will be no more decay. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. This body will decay. This body has all its pains. This body has all its aches. They will disappear. This body is corrupted. Not the corruption that we see in our country today. That kind of corruption will go on, but not in eternity, of course. But this is a corruption and the decay of our bodies. This will not be there when we rise again. Corruption will put on incorruption. No more dishonor, sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Today, you may be very poor. You may be not respected by other people. But the day comes when that will be changed, when all of you will be honored and you'll be respected because you have the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. No more debility. Now, today, as I see my wife and myself and two of our senior brethren in front, they have difficulty in getting up, they have difficulty in sitting down, and so do we. Alright, like many others here. A few others here, not many, but few others here. You have this debility, the weakness. Will we still go up into heaven and walk with a walking stick? Crippled, perhaps. And perhaps today we have no leg. But then, will we still have no leg because our leg has been amputated? No! All will go! We will be perfect. What great joy. Today, this morning even, especially the four of us in front, we had difficulty trying to listen to some of the younger ones giving out hymn numbers. We were asking among ourselves, what was that number about? We couldn't hear. We couldn't read the passage that was referred to because those who participated were too soft, either not audible or not clear. And so we had difficulty. Excuse us. We are in the corruptible stage, but never corrupted. So we are hoping and praying hard that one day we shall be that going to the incorruptible stage, and corruption will put on incorruption. No more depravity. Sown in a natural body, raised a spiritual body. No more with all our weaknesses, with all our infirmities. Those of us my age, this is the hope that we have. We don't have long more to wait, but the time is coming. But the younger ones still also have You may not know. You need to know what you are facing in front. Okay, so this is our glorious hope before us. Right, that changes. Now, let's develop this argument further, as given by Paul, about this new body that we are going to have. The fruit, remember, takes after its seed. We were all from first Adam, verses 45 to 50. Our forefathers came from Adam. Then we would contrast that with the last Adam. The last Adam would be, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, contrast. The first Adam was made a living soul. He was made from the dust of the earth, and God breathed into him, and he became a living soul. In the case of the second Adam, or the last Adam, he was never created from the dust. He was life itself. So therefore, he was able to give life to all those who come to him. The first Adam was natural. The last Adam would be spiritual, from heaven. Verse 46. The first Adam would be earthly, from the earth, dust he was made from. The last Adam would be heavenly, because he came from heaven. And so the conclusion is, only death and resurrection can transform the nature of the body. Death, the person must first die. After that, there will be a resurrection. Then, of course, a transformation. Now, go on to the new revealed mystery, 1551 to 58. Now, here is something that we must know, because it is a mystery. A mystery. And what is this mystery? Let me just divert a little bit and talk about this mystery. What is meant by mystery in verse 51? The word mystery is not something that is mysterious and that cannot be understood. According to the definition of Ephesians 3, 3 to 12, especially verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, if you have a chance to glance at these verses, you will know that the word mystery means not revealed in the past to the Old Testament prophets, but now revealed to the New Testament prophets and apostles. And so we find mystery means something that was concealed in the past and revealed in the present. For example, the resurrection that we are talking about, this first resurrection of the church being raptured up into heaven, would be a mystery, because the mystery as defined in Ephesians 3 is actually the church, when Jews and Gentiles are put in together to form the body of Christ, so that in the body of Christ there is no Jew and no more Gentile, but all are one in Christ. So there's a third body, Jews, Gentiles, and the church. Now, this mystery is with regard also to the rapture of the church as expanded for us in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 17. Let's see what it says. Now, in the Old Testament prophet like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and so on, only knew of two resurrections. But not necessarily. The first and second resurrection taking place one after another, but to them in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, these two resurrections took place one at the same time. Some will be raised to blessing, to life, others will be raised into contempt and judgment. It will be a simultaneous judgment, a resurrection. And this has given some Bible scholars to conclude that one day all will rise together, the sinners as well as the saints, all at one time to face the judgment. Now that is not right. That is not right. That's why we must be clear on our doctrine. I have already showed to you that in between the first resurrection and the second resurrection, there will be 1,000 years minimum. there will be the rapture between the two resurrections, and there will be the great tribulation when Israel will be brought back before they will come into blessing in the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth during the millennium. So then, I repeat, first resurrection, the church, up in heaven, after Christ the first fruits. Second resurrection will be at the end of the millennium, when all the dead who have died throughout time will be raised, and they will face the judgment. They will face the judgment at the great white throne. And after that, they will be thrown into hell, where it will be known as the second death. So that the Old Testament did not see. The Old Testament prophets did not see. They thought that there will be two simultaneous judgments at one time. But we know from what we have read in Revelation that there will be 1,000 years in between. Right. So let's come back to the revealed mystery of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Who are the people involved? Verse 51, please read. We would be excluding the flesh and the blood, the flesh and blood in verse 50. In verse 50, we read, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. We will be those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be raised from among the flesh and blood that died. They will remain for 1,000 years. These who have believed in Lord Jesus Christ will be raised, and they will meet Christ in mid-air. But at that time, when Christ comes to take the church up with him, not all would have died. Some will not be sleeping. It's called sleeping, not dying. When you die, you don't wake up anymore. When you sleep, you wake up. So, these people who have died, who they will be raised, but then there are those who have believed in Jesus Christ, who would not have died, and who will be living, they too will be raised. The believing and the living of those who believe in Christ. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15:50, we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed. The believing who have died, and those who are living who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, all will be changed. This is referred to as those that sleep in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. They also will be raised. Those who have died, they will be raised. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then all those who are alive and remain shall follow. And so we see both the dead first to be changed and to go up into heaven. Those who are living will then follow. And all will take place in a moment of time. In a twinkling of an eye, all this will happen. In a twinkling of an eye, before your eyelid can close, up, you are there already in heaven. Right. The process involved, it must take place in one moment only. Then that moment, the word moment actually in the Greek is one atom. One atom of time. Can you recall how fast it can be? At the military shout from the Lord, and this is from 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord will shout, and all will be changed. Those who are dead, those who are alive, be caught up. And then Michael, I think it's Michael because the sound of the archangel, he will echo out. Now, it's interesting to note that the word sound, the sound of the archangel, will actually is from the Greek word phone. At the time when this was written, it would be impossible that when the archangel sounded, all the whole world, the whole universe could hear that sound. But today, you just need WhatsApp. You just need WhatsApp. And what you do is, Michael can just put an SMS to WhatsApp, wake up! Wake up! And all those who are asleep will go up. And then the phone, can use on the phone. The phone will ring. And the phone says, come home! And all will go home. Yes, all this will take place in one moment. Thousands of years, 2,000 years ago, not possible. Today is possible. And what I say today about the resurrection and about the body of the resurrection are possible, as we shall know now. And then finally, we shall hear God's mighty trumpet to shake us up, to all to be taken home, one split of a second. Alright, so the process involved. Then we have the purifying and its permanency. Verse 53. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. How blessed. Those of you who are looking forward, can you say Amen? And how glad we will be when we shall be with the Lord. No more all these knee pains, this back aches, every morning wake up, I cannot turn this way, cannot turn that way, oh, so painful, cannot bend forward even to put your trousers on, sorry for speaking that way. But it's true, isn't it? The corruptible will put on incorruption, mortality will put on immortality, and how glad it will be. Then the notable royal victory. Dead, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? No more subject to death and to the grave. Resurrection of the Savior guarantees the resurrection of saints. In this case, that you are carrying on with the work of the Lord, carry on, because your work will not be worthless. So let me finish now, verse 58. Verse 58, series of exhortations. Know and do. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the first thing we need to know from this last exhortation here, in the conclusion of the argument of the resurrection, is continue being. The word be, it says that, my beloved brethren, be, he said first, be there is an imperative and it is in the continual tense. In other words, keep on doing. Firm and steadfast. Be firm and steadfast in your sureness of the Lord. Today, there are people who put a lot of doubts in your mind concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Be sure, and that's why you must know the doctrine. The doctrine is very important. The Word of God is very important. Please don't be taken up with so many easy reading of devotional books and so on. They are good, but you need to know the Scriptures. You need to master the Scriptures. You need to know the doctrine. And the doctrine of the resurrection of Christ is very important. The doctrine of the return of Christ is very important. Therefore, know your doctrine and be firm and steadfast. Know your Lord. Be fixed and unmovable and in your stand in the Lord. Don't be like sheep going from one place to another. Keep on changing churches and so on. Be firm and be steady. Know what you believe in and know what you stand for. And be firm always. Be fervent and be fruitful in your service for the Lord. Continue to serve the Lord, knowing that time is very near. Let us work. work until you are dead tired, so to speak. That's the word labor there, and weariness. Work until you are dead tired. Serve the Lord, because the time is short. So, let's not stay. Now, it was my intention 2 weeks ago to finish this chapter 15 last week, whole chapter. But I'm glad I did not, because there's so much for us to learn from that chapter alone. I had divided into two parts, chapter 15 in two parts. That means that I will have to do the study which I intended from the very beginning, the church of Ephesus, in 1 week. And that is not possible. So what I'm going to do next week will be to deal with chapter 16. There's still one problem to be discussed in chapter 16. If you read chapter 16 verse 1, there is a problem concerning the collection of the saints. This is another problem which the church in Corinth reported. So we shall deal with the collection of the saints for the saints, and then the various instructions that Paul gave to the saints in Corinth. So with that, we finish chapter 15, the resurrection of Christ, and I do hope it will give you a good foundation for what you believe in, and above everything else, a hope for what you live for the Lord today. The Lord bless you all.